You know, it's a wonderful week. It's Thanksgiving week. Amen. And then after Thanksgiving, I guess they have what they call Black Friday, although Black Friday now starts in October. Maybe November 1st, I don't know. Anyway, thinking about Thanksgiving, and a lot of people, you know, I assume that people know history, but, you know, that's an assumption, you know, history is kind of done away with. So for some of you that don't know why we celebrate Thanksgiving, let me talk to you for a few moments about history, all right? And in 1620, the Pilgrims landed at Plymouth Rock, and the Pilgrims came to America for freedom of religion. You know, they came to America to worship God the way that they please. But unfortunately, there was a terrible winter. About 100 pilgrims landed in Plymouth Rock, I think it was December of 1620. And because of the winter that went on in 1620, 1621, that winter, half of them died. Imagine half of them died. So then they had, you know, a great harvest. And so the very first Thanksgiving dinner was 1621. They don't know the exact date. It happened sometime in the fall, between September and November. But they were thanking God that even though they went through all kinds of struggles and trials and situations, that God provided them a great harvest. And so the Pilgrims, along with the Wampanoag, I'm not sure how to pronounce it. Anyway, they're Indians, okay? They sat together and they had the first Thanksgiving dinner. And of course, obviously the first Thanksgiving dinner had a lot of things that we don't have today. Now they said it probably did have turkey, because that was, you know, known for the region, but also contained waterfowl, venison, fish, lobsters, clam, and everyone's favorite eel. I know every time sitting down for Thanksgiving there and thinking, I just need some eel. But I guess the Indians taught the pilgrims how to catch eel. So if you want to catch an eel, then ask an Indian. Anyway, also berries, fruit, pumpkin, and squash were also some things there. You know, of course, a lot of the foods that we have today are we still enjoy turkey and pumpkin and some of those things, except for we don't have the traditional seafood, unless maybe if you live in New England, maybe they do have lobster and eel. Who knows? I think that sounds like a great Thanksgiving dinner. You know, really, the point isn't your dinner. Your point is your Thanksgiving. You know, a lot of times people put a lot of emphasis on eating this and eating that and things like that. I will tell you, my parents, they have decided. Our parents, because sometimes I say my. Denise gets, it's our parents. So they have decided I'm not spending Thanksgiving with them this year, but on Thanksgiving we have the traditional roast. All right, not turkey, because Mom goes, we have turkey on Christmas, so we have roast on Thanksgiving. And actually, I was thinking about doing the same thing this year for myself. I like roast, you know, because see, the food you eat doesn't matter. The fact that you're thankful to God for providing it does matter. Now, a couple of things I do want to say, that there were no potatoes at the first Thanksgiving dinner, because although potatoes were being grown in South America, that food was not introduced to the global food system yet. A few other things that they had was no pies. I know Tony McKenna down there is thinking, no pies? I mean, that's terrible. But the reason they had no pies is not because that, you know, there was just no pies. It's because there was no butter, wheat, flour, or sugar available. Can you imagine having no sugar? Now, I know my mom couldn't imagine having Thanksgiving without sweet tea. My mom's sweet tea is like, you know, half sugar, half tea, you know, whatever. But anyway, just to kind of note the very first Thanksgiving. And, you know, the thing is, you know, half of the settlers passed away, but they're still thankful to God for providing for them no matter what happens. And we should be thankful no matter what happens in every season of life. You know, we need to have a heart of Thanksgiving in every season. Thanksgiving's not just a season or a holiday, but it should be every day for our lives. We, you know, if it wasn't for God, none of us would be here. I mean, I can't imagine. Have you ever thought to imagine, you know, living life here on the earth without God, without Jesus, knowing that Jesus is always with you in every situation? I can't imagine, you know, living like that. And so that's why I'm always thankful for to God all the time. You know, I know, and it's a habit I actually have. And I started this because my grandfather, traveling on the road with him, I traveled on the road with him most of my life, actually, but I was his crusade manager for the last 20-something years. And, you know, when we drive down the road, and I don't know how many times, we're just driving down the road, he just says, "Thank you, Jesus." You know, there are some good habits to have. There's bad habits in life, but there's good habits to have. He would just, thank you, Jesus. And it's so interesting. What's even more interesting then is fast forward. And I believe probably that in order for this to happen, Pastor Bud from Brazil must have took up the same thing, because I've been in the car with Guto, who's over Rainbow, Brazil, and he'll say, you know, "Obrigado, Jesus," which is "Thank you, Jesus" in Portuguese. You know, I think we should thank Jesus all the time. I mean, like I said, I can't imagine living this life without him. But, you know, Thanksgiving shouldn't be just one season or holiday. It should be a posture of the heart that reflects our relationship with God. The Bible is filled with commands and encouragements to live with gratitude. You know, mainly if you read the Psalms of David and the letters of Paul, you can see a lot of Thanksgiving. So we'll look at some of those scriptures and a few others as well. My first point is Thanksgiving in prayer. You know, trusting God fully. When I think about this, I think about what Paul wrote in Philippians chapter 4, verse number 6, when he says, "Be anxious for nothing." Now, you know, it is interesting when you use the word anxious for nothing, because anxiety has been a problem in America, probably in the world, you know, for a very long time. I mean, the amount of Americans that are on anxiety medication is crazy, you know, and the fact is that evidently it must have been a problem back, you know, during Bible times as well, because Paul told us not to be anxious for anything. But what should we do? We should, it said, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God." Now, the Bible says that, you know, whenever we pray, we also thank God. Now, what does that mean? It says, you know, not only do we ask God to help us in whatever our situation is, we thank him for what he's already done in life. You know, because if God's done something before, he can do it again as well. The New Living says it this way. It says, "Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done." You know, when we approach God with thanksgiving, we declare our trust in his goodness. Gratitude reminds us that God is faithful even when circumstances seem uncertain. Now, see, the next verse there, verse number 7, goes on to say, the New King James says this. It says, "Let your request be known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." The New Living says, "Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your heart and minds as you live in Christ Jesus." You know, whenever you thank God, you'll forget about your troubles and trials, and you'll thank God for what he's done. Because you know what? If God can't do it, I don't know who can. Said, you know, it's interesting because the Bible says that whenever we pray and then we thank him, that's when we have the peace on the inside. See, we can have peace even in the middle of our storm. Why? Because God is working on our behalf. God is working on our behalf, you know, and what the devil meant for bad, God means for good. He's going to turn around our situation every single time. You know, Psalms 107:1 says this, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, and for his mercy endures forever." I don't know, I've been in a number of meetings when my grandfather had read that, and he says, "How long? Forever." His mercy endures forever. God is always merciful, you know, in every situation. You know, and right here, Psalms 107 reminds us two unchanging truths about God. For first of all, he is good. Secondly, his mercy is everlasting. These truths form the foundation for our heart of thanksgiving. You know, we can be thankful to God in every situation. You know, in moments of worry, we should pause to thank God for his past faithfulness and his promises. Gratitude shifts our focus from the problem to the provider. You know, when we start thanking God, it shifts our problem. Our mind shifts from, you know what, we had a problem, but now we thank him for our provider who's providing for our issues, providing for our problems every single time. And then I think about, you know, what Peter said in 1 Peter 5:7. It says this, "Casting your cares upon him, for he cares for you." You know, the reason I can be thankful, because I know that I don't have to care about my cares anymore, because he's caring for them. The New Living says it this way, "Give all your worries and cares to God, for he cares about you." You know, sometimes I get in trouble for not caring enough. I mean, people get mad at me, but you know what? I mean, why should I care if God's caring? See, that's when I can be thankful that my God is caring about my situation, you know, because there's so many times that so many situations we get into, the reason we have anxiety, the reason we have worry, is because we don't know how to get out of the situation. We don't know what we're going to do. We don't know how it's going to work out. But that's when we can just thank God that our God knows the answer. Our God has the answer. In fact, Jesus is the answer. So we can be thankful during that situation, because no longer do we have to hold on to those worries and cares, because we have somebody else that can care about our cares, somebody else that can worry about our worries, because we can give those to God, and then we can have what the Bible says, the peace that passes all understanding, the peace that we don't even understand why we can have peace in the middle of this storm, because nobody else should be able to have peace, but we can, because we're thankful to God for providing, even whenever it looks like things are not going to work out. Our God is always able to provide in every circumstance. And, I just continue to thank him every time. You know, whenever you have prayed for something, when you've asked him for something, you know, you only ask him one time. Then after that, you thank him for what he's already done. Well, yeah, but I haven't seen it yet. Yeah, but you have it by faith. Yeah, but I don't feel like nothing. Yeah, but you have it by faith. See, you can thank him for what he's already done. You know, the healing power of God's already working on the inside. You don't have to wait for the manifestation. You know it's already there because you are already asked him. You've already gave him your problem. You've already gave him your situation. And now you can thank him that he's providing the answer, because he always provides the answer each and every time. You know, we should also have thanksgiving during our worship times. Psalms 100 verse 4 says, "Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name, for the Lord is good and his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations." You know, Psalms 100 verse 4 encourages us to enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise at all times. It doesn't matter what we're going through, we can still thank God every time. At all times. You're in the good times, you're in the bad times, it doesn't matter. You know, thanksgiving prepares our hearts for worship. Thanksgiving is a gateway to experience God's presence. When we approach him with gratitude, we acknowledge his greatness and align our hearts with his will. You know, there's just something about this thanking God. I mean, you know, whenever maybe you are facing a lot of situations and circumstances, you know, sometimes you just need to turn on some praise music. Just praise God. Just praise God. You know, I know Keith Moore has a great praise song, Hallelujah Anyhow. Never, never let the devil get you down. You know, but we can praise God during good times, but we can also praise God during bad times. You know, it's really easy to praise God during good times. You know, when you just experience a huge testimony, maybe someone blessed you financially, or maybe you were set free in whatever area, it's really easy to praise God during those times, but we should praise God at all times. We should thank Him at all times, because we're not thanking for the situation we're in, we're thanking for what He's doing in spite of the situation we're in. You know, I'm assuming that even during the times when people were dying, the pilgrims were still thanking God, because you know what? He provided for them, and He is providing for them. You know, we should be more thankful, and we should have a heart of thanksgiving at all times. Or we should live a life of thanksgiving. Colossians 3:17 says this, and whatever you do in word or deed, do it in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. You know, Colossians 3:17 challenges us to give thanks in everything that we do. Gratitude is not limited to our prayers or worship. It should be reflected in our words and actions and attitudes. You know, everything that we do, we should be thanking God at all times. I said, you know, that's why to have good habits, like just saying thank you, Jesus, you know, just for, you know, for no reason, is a good thing. Why, you know what? You woke up today. Some people didn't. The fact that you're able to get here to worship God together, you know, we should be thankful for that. There's so many things to be thankful for. We should be thankful that we actually live in the United States of America, the greatest country ever. Now, I get it. There's a lot of weird, bad, crazy things going on in our nation, but we still are the greatest country ever. That's why so many people are trying to illegally come across the border to enter to this country. It is the greatest country ever. It is a country of opportunity. You know, and I get it. You know, it seems like sometimes by watching the media that everything's being destroyed. But you know what? We are preparing for revival, because it talks about in the last days that many things will go on. But you know what? To look up, because the greatest revival to ever experience will be happening. So you know what? Yeah, there's all kinds of situations and circumstances happening, but our God is greater, and we're going to get through these situations, these circumstances. Things are turning around. You know, we can be thankful even during the tough times, you know, because, you know, things are going to be okay for us. Things are going to be okay for us. Why? Because we serve a God that's more than enough. We serve a God that's able to do exceedingly, abundantly, more than we ask or think. We can be thankful that our God is able to get us through every situation. Just like, you know, I think about the children of Israel. They were in the desert when it looks like that they had nothing, but God provided DoorDash for them every day. It didn't matter. You know, they walked out. They had manna from heaven. They had quails to pick up. God provided for them. And if He can provide for them, He can provide for us. And we should be more thankful in every situation. And not just thankful at Thanksgiving, because it seems that so many of us, we're not that thankful all the time. We're only thankful at Thanksgiving. I'm not even sure we're even thankful for that day as well. We just want to eat. And hopefully pray that the Dallas Cowboys win a football game. We are playing the Giants. They're not a really good team. You know, the win would be huge. You know, huge. Actually, you know what? Just keep losing so that we'll get the first pick in the draft. It might be the best thing for us. All right. Maybe we can fire the owner and get a new coach. Anyway, that's a whole nother thing. Sorry, I'm just thankful that I'm able to watch the football game, okay? And eat food. Well, no matter what happens, and you know, and I'm thankful that I can still rejoice and be happy, no matter if the outcome doesn't happen the way I want it to happen, you know, because God is still faithful, and one day, hopefully soon and very soon, the Cowboys will win the Super Bowl at some point in time. You know, I can at least pray and ask the Lord. Okay. I diverted. But we should be thankful in all times and all seasons, even when your team loses every game. You know, it is interesting whenever you read the Psalms and you read the life of King David, that despite the trials and hardships, he continually gives thanks to God. You know, his Psalms overflow with praise, and even in moments of despair, thanksgiving was a cornerstone of his worship and his life. You know, one thing that my grandfather pointed out many times is that King David was quick to forgive and quick to repent, and we should all be that way as well. You know, once again, we should have thanksgiving in every season of our life, trusting his plan that everything will be okay. Paul wrote in 1 Thessalonians, First Thessalonians 5, verses 16 through 18, he says this: rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. So he says, in everything give thanks. He doesn't say everything will feel like giving thanks for, but we should give thanks all times. New Living says this: always be joyful, never stop praying, be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. You know what? We should be thankful in all circumstances, no matter what. See, it's not just be thankful when in good times. We should be thankful even when things don't seem like they're going good. The thankfulness is because we have God, that we have Jesus. We have someone to depend on. I'm thankful I have someone to depend on. I know what to do in every situation. In fact, I have chapter and verses in every situation that I can claim, and I know my God is always faithful. That's why I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful that I have a God that loves me, all right? And his mercy does endure forever, you know, because there's so many times that we probably do need mercy because we, you know, sometimes we're a bunch of screw-ups in life, maybe more than we should, all right? But we should rejoice even in the trials, all right? Gratitude is not about pretending everything is fine, but about trusting that God is at work even in our struggles and trials. You know, Psalms 107 says this: oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. But then it goes on, it says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, for he has redeemed us from the hand of the enemy. See, we've already been redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and it doesn't matter what it looks like, that we are going to win, and we can be thankful even when it feels like we're losing, that we are going to win this battle, because greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Now, that is the New King James Version, but in the New Living, it says we have already won a battle over a victory over these people. We've already won a victory. We can be thankful when it feels like we're losing because we have already won the victory. Now, we don't feel like we've won the victory, but that's when we have to go by the knows what instead of the feels what. See, there's sometimes it doesn't feel like it, but we know the truth. Bible says we can know the truth, and the truth will make us free, and we are going to come out on the other side, and it doesn't matter that it seems that we're losing. We can be thankful in all circumstances, in every trial. You know, we may not be thankful for every trial, but we can be thankful in every trial. Why? Because God's presence sustains us, his promises remain true, and his purpose will prevail. Now, when I think about this, I think about what James said in James 1:2, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. New Living says it this way: dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. See, when we thank God, we can still have joy even in the middle of our trials, in the middle of whatever's going on, we're still going to make it. Because God is on our side. And if God be for us, Who cares who's against us? I know the Bible says, you know, who can be against us, but I love to say, who cares? That's what Todd White taught me that, you know, if you know Todd at all. He says, if God be for you, it doesn't matter who's against you. See, the thing is, you should only be thinking about who's for you and never thinking about who's against you, because it doesn't matter who's against you when you know who's for you. But, and that's why we can be thankful for the God that's for us at all times. Amen? Now, when I think about this, I think about Paul and Silas, and they were in prison in Philippi because they were doing what God had called them to do. And they basically someone had a demon and they cast the demon out. People got mad about it and they sent him to prison. Now prison in those days was not like prison might be today. It was a dungeon. They were there in the deep part of the dungeon, and it says that their feet were in stocks. You know, it wasn't a really good sight, but you know what? Obviously, Paul was a doer of the word. Of course, Paul wrote a lot of the word. That's why he's a doer of the word. But, you know, this is during his first missionary journey before he wrote all these letters. And so it says, but at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners heard them. All right? It says they were praying, singing praise to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. So here they were when it didn't seem like they were winning. It didn't seem like things were going good. You know, it seemed like a lot of us would have been griping and complaining instead of singing and praising. And I'm being honest. I mean, we'd be like, well, God, you know, because the reason that they went to where they were is because Paul had a vision in the night and saw a man and he said, come over, help us. And so he went there, and next thing you know, they end up in prison. Well, you know, that can't be God's plan, you know, but instead of being upset about it, they begin to sing praises to God. Now, you know, if it was me, I know what I would be singing if I was in prison. The song, He Set Me Free. Yes, He Set Me Free. You know, He Broke the Bonds. You know, that's the song I'd be singing. But anyway, you know, so here they were singing out loud. Now, here's the great thing about it is, whenever your feet are in socks and you're singing out loud, the other prisoners couldn't do anything about it. They couldn't come and tell them, you know, they could tell them to shut up if they wanted to, but it's a good thing they didn't. Because it says that here they were singing praises, and suddenly there was a great earthquake so that the foundation of the prisons were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open and everyone's chains were loosed. Why? Because two guys decided, you know what? They should praise and thank God instead of just being down in the dumps in their despair. Man, I believe that if we will praise and thank God during our situations, we'll have those suddenlies happen. All those things will fall away. Everything that seemed to be holding us down will all fall away. Everything will open up, and God will provide a way of escape. Because we have a heart of thanksgiving. Not just because we want to have turkey and dressing on one day a year. But because we love God every day and we're thankful for everything that He has done in our life. You know, Thanksgiving should also be a witness to others. Once again, back to Colossians 3:17 says, when whatever you do in word or deed, do it in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to the Father through Him. You know, when we live with gratitude, it becomes a powerful testimony to those around about us. You know, many people will be like, man, I don't know why you're so thankful, because you're going through the same situation I'm going through. Yeah, but you don't know my God. You see, the thing about it is, if you have that heart of thanksgiving, it opens the door for you to be able to share the love of Jesus to a lost and dying and hurting world, because they don't have the same hope that you have. They don't know what to do during that situation. But as they watch you having, you know, thanksgiving at all times, and they're like, well, I know what's going on in your life, and you're pretty happy about it. Why? Because I know that my God shall provide all my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I know that I'm going to make it. I know I'm going to get through it. I know I'm going to make it to the other side. So our thanksgiving points others toward the source of our joy, which is Jesus Christ. This joy that I have, the world can't take it from me. See, we have joy in Jesus, and we can have that joy. And the Bible says the joy of the Lord is our strength. It says, you know, there, you know, it says that James said to count it all joy. We can have joy and thanksgiving during the worst season of our life. All right? You know, the worst season of our life, it doesn't matter. We can still be thankful. Why are we thankful? Because you know what? These things are only temporary. These things are only temporary. It's only for a short season. You know, the winter is only temporary. You know, back to the Pilgrims, that was a temporary setback. But praise God that God still provided for them, and they're able to have a huge feast. And God provided for them, and God will provide for you. Those things that you're going through are only temporary situation, but if you have gratitude, it will open the door to be able to minister to others. You know, gratitude also changes the atmosphere. A thankful heart brings light to dark situations and hope to those who are in despair. You know, people are looking for some kind of hope. I mean, people are looking for something, some kind of light, some kind of, you know, they feel there's, I mean, if you listen to what's going on, it feels like there's darkness all around. But praise God, you know, and a lot of people, when I talk to them, they almost have a doom and gloom attitude. Well, America's doomed, and this has happened, and that's happened. You know what? America's not doomed. We're going to make it. You know, I have the Bible. I don't know how many of you guys have the Bible. Well, there was a lot of times where Israel seemed like they were doomed too. But Israel's still alive and well. They're still doing good. All right, no matter how much the devil tries to take from them, they're going to make it. America's going to make it. You're going to make it. We're going to get through this situation. And, you know, I get it. Doom and gloom sells them, you know, It sells the media. People will click on things that seem like doom and gloom. People will click on all kinds of situations. But I'm here to tell you that our God is able to help us in every situation. And we shouldn't have doom and gloom. We should have an attitude of thanksgiving. Because in spite of what doom and gloom goes around, we can be thankful during all times. And I tell you what, if you'll get a thankful person to walk into a room full of doom and gloom, see, you bring the light to a dark world. Because you bring hope to people who are hopeless. And that's why we should have an attitude of thanksgiving all year long, everywhere we go. You know, everywhere we go, first of all, we've always heard the thing that you might be the only Jesus anyone ever sees. And you're like, well, no, I'm not really that Jesus or whatever. No, well, you realize that wherever you go, you carry him on the inside. Greater is he, you know, see, we claim the scripture, but so wherever we go, we should be a light to that dark world. You know, an attitude of thanksgiving is very important, to have an attitude that you're different than everybody else, that you're thankful no matter what's going on, that you're always bringing hope to every situation. You know, I think this Thanksgiving is a time to express a greater attitude toward God. A lot of times, you know, yeah, I mean, we pray a prayer at Thanksgiving, but it's just a prayer because, you know, we feel that we have to. You know, because it's a tradition. Thanksgiving shouldn't be a tradition. It should be something you do every day. Every day. But you know, it's also a time, though, I do believe that this Thanksgiving and this holiday season, that we should share gratitude with others and be thankful, you know, for them, for things that they've helped you in life. Things that they've done for you. Or the fact that they're here, still here with you. You know, I'm very mindful as I get older, and especially as I watch some of my people my own age that have lost their parents, I'm very thankful, you know, for my parents and thankful to spend time with them probably more thankful than ever before, you know, and you know, because, you know, if Jesus tarries his coming, we all at some point in time are going to pass from this world. All right. You know, my mom's going to live 120 years because she says so. So, you know, but so here's my point. If I'm living 120 years, I'm going to live 120 healthy years. So I thank the Lord for a healthy body. If I'm going to be here for 120, I'm going to have a healthy body, a healthy soul. And, you know, I want to have my memory intact. That's something else. I'm thankful. I'm thanking God for things for things in the future. I thank God that my memory will always be good. I thank God my hearing is always going to be good. Except for things I just don't want to hear, then I just won't hear those things. You know, so right now I have what they call selective hearing. My sister pointed out the other day how sometimes people say things and I'll just go right. I won't even answer the question. I'll just act like I didn't even hear it. It's not that I didn't hear it. I just didn't want to hear it. You know, so I have selective hearing, but I have good hearing. I do have good hearing. I'll always have good hearing. As long as I'm here on this earth, I'm going to hear good. I'm going to have health. And I'm going to be funny. I mean, it's okay to have a good life here, you know. Now, one fine day, we're going to be up yonder, but right now, we should have a good life here. But you know what? We should be thankful for those around about us. We should be thankful, you know, for our parents and grandparents and great-grandparents and great-great-grandparents, if you still have them or whatever you have, you know. I see all the time people say, well, you know, I wish I had parents to be thankful for or that. So, you know what? We should also spend more time with our family while we have that opportunity. He said, well, yeah, but my family's annoying. Well, everyone's family's annoying, but that's okay. You know, you still wouldn't trade them for the world. Amen. Amen. Well, we should share the attitude of thankfulness to the lost and dying and hurting world. Share our testimony how God has done great things, you know, for us at all times and point others toward Jesus Christ. In conclusion, Thanksgiving is more than a practice. It's a way of life that honors God, strengthens our faith, and blesses others. As we reflect on the scriptures that we have been reading today, may we commit to living with a heart of gratitude in every season, no matter how good or how bad it seems. Our God is always able to get us through every situation, and we should continue to be thankful. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness, your faithfulness, and love. Teach us the life of thanksgiving, trusting you in every circumstance and giving thanks in every moment, helping us to glorify you in all we do and to reflect your love to those around us in the name of Jesus. And Father God, we just thank you right now. If there be anyone here that does not know your Son Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, that they can know today. With heads bowed and eyes closed, if you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I'm going to ask you to lift your hand, and we want to pray for you. We don't want you to leave this place without knowing Jesus Christ, because the greatest gift that I could ever give you is accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. So if you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, just lift your hand right now across this auditorium. We want to pray for you. Just lift your hand. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and you want to today, or maybe here today and you've been in church a long time, but you don't know that you've ever accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. My grandfather talks about having a know-so experience. If you don't know so tonight, today, you can know so. And if that's you, I don't know if I've ever accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, and I want to today. Lift your hand, and we want to pray with you. Or maybe you're here today and you say, Craig, I want to rededicate my life to God. So today, I want to publicly do that. And if that's you, lift your hand. We want to pray with you across this auditorium. There's a hand over there. Thank you. Someone lifted their hand. They were the first one. So anyone else on the sound of my voice that needs to be saved or wants to have a no-so experience or wants to rededicate their life to God, just lift your hand right now. Or maybe here today and you say, Craig, I know what it is to be saved. I am a child of God, but I've never had that other experience, infilling of the Holy Spirit. Acts 2:4 said they're all filled with the Holy Spirit and begin to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. If you've never had that Pentecostal experience, it's extra endowment power from on high. If that's you, lift your hand right now. We want to make sure you get that experience. If you've never received the Holy Spirit, lift your hand across this auditorium. Amen. Well, if you lifted your hand, or you should have lifted your hand, I'm going to ask you, actually, let's all stand up right now. Everyone stand up. If you lifted your hand for prayer, or should have lifted your hand for prayer, I think we had one person lifting their hand, but if you should have lifted your hand, just come down here. We want to pray with you. If you lifted your hand for prayer, or should have lifted your hand, come down here right now. We want to pray for you. Amen. Hallelujah. Don't be embarrassed. Amen. Amen. Altar still open. If you didn't lift your hand, but you know you should have, just come down here. It's okay. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Amen. Amen. God is a good guy. Amen. 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 I think you raised your hand for rededication. Amen. Well, you know what? You know, sometimes life goes the way we don't want it to go and things happen. But you know what? Praise God, we can always come back to Jesus. He's always there for us. He loves us in every situation. What's your name?
Charlotte.
Charlotte. Can I hold your hand?
Yes.
Father God, we just thank you for Charlotte. We just thank you right now for everything you're doing in her life. Father, we thank you that you forgive her for all her sins. We thank you, Father, that Charlotte's life will never be the same. We thank you, Father, that she will experience a new life like never before. And we give you the praise, the honor, the glory. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Charlotte, we have some stuff that we want. Are you come down to? All right. What's your name, man? I'm sorry. All right.
Nice to meet you.
All right. Nice to meet you. I prayed for her, bro. Father, we thank you for the same thing, Father. We thank you. His life will never be the same. We just thank you for it now in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. I thought you were just praying for her. All right. This is Pastor Greg. If you'll just go with him, and you can go as well, sir. Go with them, and they're going to make sure you got everything you came for. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. God's a good God. Amen. Let's just stretch out our hands. Father God, we just thank you for these fine folks. Father, we thank you that their life will never be the same. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen.